That means whatever happens here, our journey won't have been completely in vain. Let's see what she looks like on the other side. We know there's something wrong with her there. They curved around, executing a hairpin turn beyond the gaping mouths of the exhaust vents. Gomez was right, of course. The antimatter had to be there, and that had never been in doubt. Had her engines exploded the way the Islamabad had done, there would have been nothing left at all except for a few unusual trace elements added to the interstellar medium. There must still be enough antimatter inside her to slow down the whole ship, and all the containment systems must still be operating normally. Sky's people could use that antimatter. They could either experiment with it in place, testing the Caluche's engines in ways they would never have risked with their own ship, thereby finding a way to squeeze more efficiency from them, or they could use the ghost ship as a single huge rocket stage, tethering it to the Santiago, and enormously boosting their deceleration curve, before discarding the Caluche at some still significant fraction of the speed of light. But there was a third way that appealed to Sky more than either of those two possibilities. Gain experience with the handling of antimatter aboard the ghost ship, and then transfer only the reservoir back to the Santiago, where it could be connected up to their own fuel supply. That way, no fuel would be wasted decelerating dead mass, and the whole thing could be kept reasonably secret as well. Now they turned around and began to track up the other side. The radar scans had forewarned them that there would be some kind of asymmetry, something different about this side of the ship, but when they saw what it was, they had trouble believing their eyes. Gomez swore softly, Sky echoing the sentiment with a slow nod. All along her length, from the bulbous command sphere to the rear of the propulsion section, the ship's side had erupted outwards in a queasy leprous mass, a froth of globular blisters packed as dense as frog spawn. They studied it wordlessly for at least a minute, trying to rationalize what they saw with what they believed the sixth ship to be. "Something strange happened here," Gomez said, the first to speak. "Something very, very strange. I'm not sure I like it, Sky."
"You think I like it any more than you do," Sky answered.
"Take us away from the hull," Norquinco said, and for once Sky obeyed him without question. He tapped the thrusters, pushing the shuttle out to 200 meters. They waited silently until they could get a better look at the ghost ship. The more he looked at it, the more it looked like blistered flesh, Sky thought, or possibly badly healed scar tissue. It certainly did not look like anything he would have expected. "There's something up ahead," Gomez said, pointing. "Look, tucked away near the command sphere. It doesn't seem to be part of her."
"It's another ship," Sky said.
They crept closer, nervously probing the dark mass with searchlights. Almost lost within the bubbled explosion of flesh-like hull was a much smaller intact spacecraft. It was the same size as their shuttle, the same basic shape, in fact, only its markings and details were different.
"Shit, someone got here ahead of us," Gomez said.
"Perhaps," Sky said, "but they could have been here for decades."
"He's right," Norquinco said. "I don't think it's one of ours, though."
They crept closer to the other shuttle, wary now of a trap, but the other ship looked equally as dead as the much larger craft alongside it. It was guide to the Caluche, moored to her hull by three lines which had been fired into the hull with penetrating grapples. That was standard emergency equipment on a shuttle, but Sky had never expected to see it used in this fashion. There were intact docking hatches on the Caluche's far side. Why had the shuttle not used those?
"Bring us in nice and slowly."